No matter where you cut it, it's always about the cross. That's what everything's about. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to have Pastor Carver with us tonight over from West Park Baptist. I know he doesn't like to get recognized, but when somebody's been faithful all those years, the Bible says we ought to give credit to whom credit's due. And it sure is encouraging to me as a young preacher to see a man of God that's been faithful all those years and just stuck with it. And he's retired now. That's what we call our cars in West Virginia. Once they've lost some tread on them, we retire them. But he's going to find, I guess now he's going to be more busy than ever. He said he's going to go in and blow up and blow out. So praise the Lord. But it's good to have him. And West Park's done a great job over all these years. And listen, we're not in competition with them. We're all part of the same team and pushing for the same goal in mind. And somebody did remind me, I need to apologize. I forgot about my last verse this morning. I told you we were going to end in Luke chapter number 1, and I just got so carried away with preaching, I forgot all about it, but I will read it to you. It says, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." The things I talked about this morning are possible with God. We can see revival happen. We can see Pentecost Sundays once again. You know why? Because we still serve the same God. And God can still do it today like he's done it in times of old. And we just got to remain faithful and do what God tells us to do. So there, Brother Jeff, I finished it. And so you see it there. Okay, Philippians, if you would, please. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I began to pray in June about what God would start having for this year. And just over the past 6 months, just been asking God to give me some direction on kind of a theme for this year. And I told you tonight, I'll be announcing that, and you'll see that also in the video afterwards, our theme for this next year. But these are the verses that God kind of laid on my heart, very familiar verses to most of us. I put them in the bulletin. I had my wife put them in the bulletin this morning, Philippians chapter number 3. And I would invite you to stand with me as we read two verses, verse 13 and verse number 14 of Philippians chapter number 3. Verse 13 and 14 says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As I read verse 13, I've read that verse numerous, numerous times throughout my life and throughout my Christian life, and even as a pastor I've read those verses. But it said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." What is that? Forgetting about the past and reaching forth to those things which are before. And kind of my theme that this year that God laid on my heart is reaching new heights for God. And we need to reach new heights for God. We need to go higher than we've ever gone before. I think sometimes we are content with just the status quo type Christianity. And that's so prevalent throughout our nation today, is that people think, well, it's okay because I come to church on Sunday morning. It's okay because I come to church on Sunday night, because I come to church on Wednesday night. But there's more to the Christian life than just church attendance. There's more to the Christian life than just warming a pew every Sunday or Wednesday. And we need to reach forth to those things which are before. Guess what? 2016's gone. Can't do anything about it. We can't dwell on it. We can learn lessons from it. But we need to reach forth to those things which are before. But it said, verse 14, "I press towards the mark." You can't press towards something if you don't have a goal to reach. And whenever somebody's running a race, there's a mark that they're trying to get to. And they keep pressing on towards it. So I'm going to preach a message to you tonight called "Press On for Jesus." This 2017 time that we're about to face, God's given us a new year to start. We may not make it through the whole year. God may come before it's over, and I hope He does. But if not, God's given us a new year. We can't dwell on the past, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. God's got a lot in store for this year, and I'm excited to see what He's got for us this year. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. Thank You for the day that You've given to us. Thank You for the time to be in Your Word tonight. Lord, I stand where the arm of the flesh will fail me. I need Your help, and I need Your touch. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You'll do in us what we cannot do. When we are weak, You are strong. Help us to rest in You and to follow You. and allow you to have preeminence in our life. God, as I preached this morning, as you laid on my heart about Pentecost Sunday and about thousands of people being saved, and when they prayed, the house was shaken. And God, I desire that again. I believe you can still do it. Lord, I pray that you will stir in us a fire with inside that will not rest until your return. Lord, may we be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Maybe we labor for you. And Lord, even though there's going to be times I know that we're going to be weary, we're going to feel like we can't go on, I pray that you help us to press on for you. Lord, we love you tonight. If there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray that they'll trust you tonight. Thank you for those that are faithful, those that are saved, those that are doing right. And Lord, those that are struggling, I pray that you'll be with them this evening. Would you encourage them? Would you strengthen them? Thank you for all that you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. You know, oftentimes when we come to a new year, we always have what we call our New Year's resolutions. You know, my New Year's resolution is not going to be very easy, especially with the church we have and all the fellowships and the good cooking. But my resolution this year is I want to lose 25 pounds. Okay? Anybody want to take it? Anybody want to take it from me? Because I want to lose 25 pounds. That is my kind of goal this year. But that's just a physical goal that I have. But all of us, we have different things that we say we'd like to try for the new year. And after we mess up after day number one, we usually say, well, I'll start again next year. You know, and a lot of times that's what happens. But there's been times in my life that I've done that spiritually. There's been times in my life that I said, you know what, this year I'm going to do better in my prayer life. This year, I'm going to do better in my Bible reading. This year, I'm going to be a better soul winner. And guess what happens usually the first couple days of the new year? I stumble. And then, you know what? You get defeated and you say, well, I already messed up. Maybe I'll just start again next year. You know, well, I want us to understand things. Because we're people, we fail at times. But I want you to understand, when we follow God and do what God wants us to do, the end result can still be a success if we'll just keep pressing on for Him. And as I read through this passage, I began to ponder some things about my life and about this church and about what God has done in our nation even throughout this year. It's been a trying year. This election coming up and all the things we've dealt with even just here in North Carolina, the battle that we faced with this transgender things going on. And listen, we live in a wicked world, but the world's always been wicked. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, the world has always been wicked, and we're always going to constantly have a battle that we need to fight. But too often times, we sit on the sidelines for God because we're worried about the past and where we've messed up, rather than just getting up and keep on going for God. I remember when I played football, our defensive coach, he was very, very, very tough. His name was Cletus Green. He was the meanest man that I think I ever met in my life. And having a name like Cletus Green, you know he's just mad, okay? And he would cut down a telephone pole at his house, and they were doing some things, and there was this old telephone pole, Brother Shane. He cut it, and he put a big harness on it and hooked up a chain harness, like a climbing harness thing, and made us drag that thing across the football field. And he said, listen, if you can't drag it anymore, you just keep going. Keep digging your legs till you can't go any further. Well, guess what happened at first? We'd start doing it. We'd get maybe about 3 yards, and we're just running, 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 and then we'd just tire out. But he was teaching us a principle that we can apply to our lives through this passage as well. See, oftentimes, there were some people that just quit football because they couldn't keep going. They couldn't just keep running, even when it hurt. But what our coach was teaching us during that time was, even through the pain, you need to still keep fighting, because guess what's going to happen as you grow? You're going to get stronger, and you're going to get stronger, and you're going to get stronger. You know what I found out, Brother Shane? Usually whenever we took that harness off, we were a lot faster. We were a lot more useful to our football team when we were able to go. Why? Because he taught us some lessons through it. Listen, we can look back at the things and say, hey, there's some things I need to learn. We ought not to dwell in the past and dwell in our defeats and dwell in all these things and think, well, God just can't use me because of this. Listen, God can use anybody that's willing. God can use anybody that says, Lord, here am I, use me. The good thing about God is that when we do things in His strength, we can succeed. Why? Because it's not us doing it. It's Him. God never told you to go save anybody. God told you to go give the gospel. He does the saving. God didn't tell you to go out there and cast out devils out of people's lives. Guess what? He told you to be the tool, the conduit, and he does the work. You understand that? Anything that's accomplished for God is through his power and his power only. There's nothing you can do or I can do that will be worth any amount of things in the future. We won't have any stick-to-itiveness unless we stick with God. And he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I thought about rock climbers. I've always wanted to try it. I never have done it because I'm a little heavier than I'd like to be before I climb, and I'm just afraid those ropes won't hold, okay? And so, but there's always something I've always been intrigued about. I've never met a rock climber that was satisfied with how high they got. They always want to go to that next peak. They always want to try to find a way to get to that higher level. And that's where we ought to be in our Christian life. You know what? When Paul said, whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, he was not saying that I need to be content where I am in my Christian life. We ought to constantly be pressing forward for God. Let me tell you this, till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, none of us have ever going to arrive in our Christian life. We're not going to know everything there is to know about the Word of God. We got to be a constant student of the Bible. Why? Because he's preached probably longer than I've been alive. And I'll tell you this, he didn't preach everything in this book. You know why? Because God's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. And we have to constantly be pressing on for God. But I want you to take your Bibles quickly and go over to Hebrews chapter number 12. We read that verse this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Just some key things that we ought to do in pressing on for Jesus. If you're going to press on for Jesus, first thing you need to do, look for in verse chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. If you're going to press on for Jesus, firstly, you need to follow the Lord with patience. You got to follow the Lord with patience. Let it do it in His time. Listen, I told you this morning that I don't want to slow down for God. Following the Lord with patience doesn't mean that you got to put it in neutral and just sit idle by. But what it means is you need to keep pressing on, and as God opens doors, you do it, but don't ever kick a door open. You understand that? If you kick a door open, that's not God's will for your life. But when God opens those doors, you run through those doors. You need to follow the Lord, though, with patience. A lot of times we want that fast food Christianity. God, I prayed for it, now let me have it. God, I want this, let me have it. That's not how God always works. God wants to see faithfulness. You know what? There's always your part in this whole thing. God always does his part, but you've got to do yours. God wants you to be faithful. God wants you to live holy as he is holy. God wants you to be found faithful. He wants you to be a soul winner. He wants you to be faithful to church. He wants you to tithe. He wants you to do all of those things that he has stated in his word. He wants you to do all of that stuff, but he says, listen, I want you to follow me with patience. Do it in my timetable, not yours. You understand? Because God knows when you're ready for things. God knows. I think sometimes we bite off more than we can chew because we try to go out there and just, okay, God, and God's not in it. At that time, God says, just wait a little while. Just wait a little while. Sometimes God answers that way. Just wait. Just be patient. Patience is not something that a lot of us have. I don't have it, especially driving. I don't have patience. Okay, I'll confess my sins, okay? I have road rage sometimes when it comes to, especially when I'm already going faster than the speed limit. And somebody's riding on my I don't have patience with that. I'm thinking, what are you in a hurry for? I'm already breaking the speed limit. I can get pulled over already. Leave me alone. You know, those are the kind of things that I don't have patience when it comes to that. But the Lord says that we need to follow him with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Listen, we need to run with patience. What that means is be steadfast in the race. That means just keep running. When you feel weary, keep running. When you don't think you can make it to the finish line, keep running. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God's given us all a race, and we're running that race. We need to follow him with patience. We need to keep running. I've never seen a long-distance runner who started out of the gate sprinting as fast as he could run and ran that way the whole time. You know what he does? He paces himself. He runs and he runs and he runs. But guess what happens when he sees the finish line? He sprints to the end. But we need to run with patience just like that. God has a race for every one of us. I don't know if our finish line is this year. I don't know if our finish line is tonight. I don't know when it is, but we need to be running with patience following God. Not only do we need to follow the Lord with patience, we need to fight the fight with persistence. Look at 2 Timothy, if you would please. 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Why can Paul say this? Because he had been following the Lord with patience. And he said, I fought a good fight. Was he being proud and boastful of himself in saying this? When Paul was saying this, was he looking to say, hey, guess what? You ought to follow my example because I fought a good fight. I don't believe that was his attitude in what he was saying. He was teaching a lesson saying, when you're fighting, you need to fight the best that you can fight. Give it all that you've got in that fight. I tell people, listen, I know there's people out there that could lick me, Brother Shane. But if they mess with my family, they mess with people that I care about, they're going to know they were in a fight. You know why? Because I'm going to fight with everything I've got. And we're in a battle every day against Satan. We walk around as if what Hollywood says about Satan and hell and all these things are real. Satan is not this little man in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork. You understand that? Right. Satan is not this little guy that always loses every battle that he fights. That's not the case. Hollywood has done a good job of making us think that hell is this fairy tale place and that Satan is not real and that good always prevails in this. Listen, Satan destroys people's lives. The Bible likens him to a lion, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When I hear the word devour, it doesn't mean that it doesn't make me think that he's just coming to play games with you. He's going to try to totally consume your life. You're in a fight. And you need to fight that fight with persistence. You need to be persistent at it and keep on going and keep on going. I was reading a thing one time. Muhammad Ali said this. He said, you know what? I realized that I may get knocked down more than that guy, but I only have to get up one more time than he does. And I thought about that, and I thought, man, how intriguing that is. You know what? He may have got knocked down, but he got up one more time than the person he was fighting. He fought a good fight. You know why? Because he said, I'm not going down and staying down. I'm getting back up and pressing on. Think about when it says, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked fall into mischief. When you fall down, guess what? If you're walking in your own strength, you're going to fall. But when we stumble, you ought to get back up and wipe the dust off of you and keep on pressing on for God. Fight that fight with persistence. Keep being persistent and persistent and persistent and persistent. And then when you read the last chapter, guess what? We win. Just keep on going. Keep on fighting for God. When we press on for Jesus. And I thought about this reaching new heights this year. There's a lot of vision that I have that God has given to me. I want to see many people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want to see many lives restored and families helped and different things done. But it's going to take a fight. Satan is not just going to sit on the sidelines and say, hey, y'all go for it. Right. West Park Baptist is going through a transition right now in their pastor. Guess what? Satan is going to try to attack. He's going to try to fight them, and we need to be on their side and help encourage them and help strengthen them when somebody's doing some things. And guess what? I don't know what's going to happen. I believe there's going to be a smooth transition. I hope so. But I'm telling you this, Satan's going to fight. And you know what? When he fights, we need to understand that we are in a battle, and we need to fight back. Oftentimes, this is what we do when he begins to fight. Well, I just don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. If I stand up and say something for the Lord, somebody might get offended. Anytime you talk about righteousness, anytime you talk about holiness, anytime you stand up for right, somebody's feelings are going to get hurt. And you just need to keep on pressing on and keep on fighting that fight for the Lord. Oftentimes we just throw in the towel. We throw in that white towel, say, I surrender. I give in. I give up. When I play with Kendrick sometimes, we tease him, I'll tickle him and I'll make him say, I surrender. You know, I'll say, I surrender. And he'll be laughing so hard he can't hardly even say it. You know what? But then he finally says, I surrender. And he's done, okay? He wants to stop. And oftentimes, though, it doesn't take very much. And we throw in that towel and say, I'm done. We knock on somebody's door. We're so excited. We knock on somebody's door, try to give them a track. They say, I don't want to hear what you got to say. And they slam the door in our face. You know what we say? I'm done. That's not fighting a fight with persistence. Fighting a fight with persistence is saying, well, I'll go to the next door. And you knock on that door. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to find somebody who's ready to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see somebody who's ready. But you just got to keep fighting that fight. Following the Lord with patience. Letting God guide your life. And fighting that fight with persistence. That's what we need to do to keep pressing on for Jesus. When Paul, if you read, he had a lot of zeal beforehand, before he was ever saved on that road to Damascus. He had a lot of zeal in what he did. But I believe after he got saved, if you read, he was even more zealous for Christ than he was against Christ. You know what he said? I'm going to step this up a notch. I'm going to do more for Christ than I did against him. How many times did we live our life against God? And against the things that God wanted us to do. Even in our Christian life, a child of God, we do things against Him. May we purpose this year that we're going to fight this fight and do more for Him this year than we've ever done before. We're going to do more for the cause of Christ this year. You say, preacher, we talk about this every year. I know, because we don't do it. We don't do it. You say, oh, well, I've heard people say that, oh, we can't see revival anymore. You know why? To me, that's a Sissy Bridges way of saying, I don't want to fight. Because it's going to take a battle to see revival happen. There's going to be some battles that you're going to have to take with that person that you stare at in the mirror all the time. Yeah. Me. Self. My biggest enemy is me. Satan knows that I'm flesh. Satan knows that if he can get me to go to my desires and my lusts and my sinful flesh, then he can destroy me. And if he destroys me, guess who he destroys? All those that are following after. Listen, it's very important, parents, for you to stay right. Because if he can destroy you, he'll get those kiddos. You say, well, what if he goes after my kids? Keep fighting. I'll tell you this right now, Satan's not going to take my kids without a fight. If they go off wayward and they make that choice, it's not going to be because I sat by and just said, well, they just need to make their own decisions. God did not put me in their life to let them make their own decisions. You understand that? God put me in their life to guide them in the way that they should go. Amen. And teach them the things of God. We have too many people that say, well, you know what? We just need to let them have their own space. The Bible says a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I heard here recently there was this kid who got upset with their parents, ran in their room and shut and locked the door and said, leave me alone, I'm in my room, this is my area, leave me alone. I began to laugh because I thought, they'll be playing ice hockey where the devil lives before my kids lock me out of a room. I'll tell you that. You say, why? Because my job that God has given me is to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You say, well, what if they get mad at you? God did not bring me here to be their best buddy. God did not give them to me to be their best buddy. I'm in a fight. I'm in a battle. You know what I'm battling for? I'm battling for 10 years from now, down the future, to see where they end up down the road. Well, I think sometimes we get tunnel vision and we look at the here and now. But as the Bible says, we need to see those things which are invisible. Later on, the things down the road, 10 years from now, where's Carter going to be? 10 years from now, where's Daisy going to be? 10 years from now, if I name them off by name and I go through your children's name, where are they going to be based on the fight that you're fighting on the cause of Christ? Good. If they end up wayward, am I saying that every time somebody lives holy and righteously that all their kids end up right? No. But I'll tell you this, they ought to be knowing that you're fighting for them. You ought to be fighting for them. You Sunday school teachers ought to be fighting for the kids in your class. You ought to be fighting for those that you've reached out soul winning. Why? Because Satan wants to destroy them. You say, well, preacher, you're just talking about we ought not to be fight. We ought to love people. Listen, we ought to love people. We ought to fight against Satan. Amen. We ought to fight against him. Right. And we have everything at our disposal that we need to defeat him. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. And then it talks about all the armor that we can place on. And then it said the shield of faith. And then it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Listen, we ought to pray. We ought to read our Bible. Why? Because that's a sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll slice Satan where he can't be, where we can't defeat him. The Bible can. Amen. Jesus is our example. Read the book of Matthew. If Satan's bold enough to tempt Jesus, what makes you think you're exempt? He's going to come after you. But Jesus is our example. And three times when Satan came to him and tempted him, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. He pulled out the sword and sliced him. Amen. Satan doesn't like it when we pull out the sword. Why should we hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against God? Why should we meditate on the word of God? Why is Psalm 1 so relevant in Reformers Unanimous? Because what it says is our delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law should we meditate day and night. And if we'll do that, we'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. It says his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We need to understand if we're going to be happy and prosperous in our life, it's only going to come because of this in our relationship with God. The only way we're going to be successful in the Christian life is if we're focusing on the things that God has given us and following His example. When we're fighting this fight, we're pressing on for Jesus. We need to follow Him with patience, but we need to fight that fight with persistence. You know what thrills my heart to see men of God that have preached all these years and faithful lay people in the church that have been here from the very start? Guess what? Those are people that have been fighting with persistence. You show me somebody who says, well, you know what, times are hard, so I'm done. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for people that'll be steadfast. Just stick with it. Just keep on going. When they get knocked down, they get up and just keep on going. There was one time, you know, we had a great middle linebacker and outside linebacker and a left outside linebacker. We had a good group. All three of us played together for like 4 years. We knew each other, how we worked. And you know what? We were pretty good. But Bobby, there came this one team we played against. We were pretty fit when we played football. I come running through and I was going right for that quarterback. But guess what I didn't see? The guy standing right there blocking. I had tunnel vision on that quarterback and I was coming with everything I had. And guess what? He hit me hard. My helmet went flying off. The chin strap busted right here. My teeth, Brother Shane, were bleeding from the mouthpiece that was hooked to the face mask like this, and it flipped up. I thought I was dying. He knocked the wind out of me. You know what my coach said? Get up. Keep running. He's still running. Go get him. And I'm thinking, get up. I can't even breathe. But I thought of Cletus Green. And I thought, I'm more afraid of him than I am afraid of this guy. So I got up and took off running. Listen, we need to keep on going. Even when the wind gets knocked out of you, get back up and keep on running for God. Satan's not going to play games with you. He's not just going to pat you on the back. He's going to slam you against the ground so hard that it'll knock the wind right out of you. But you need to get up and keep fighting. Get up and keep going. I spent 3.5 years as a police officer, and there was times that I didn't realize how I was going to make it out of this thing. There was times that I just had to decide I'm going home to my family tonight. So whatever I have to do to you to make that happen, I'm going to do it. And that's the mindset that I had to have. But you know what? We need that mindset spiritually. I'm going home one day. And when I see him, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And however hard I've got to fight, I'm going to fight. No matter how many times I get knocked down, I'm going to keep getting back up and going on for God. We need to follow the Lord with patience, fight the fight with persistence. And if we'll do those things, we'll be able to finish our course with praise. We'll be able to finish our course with praise. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. What is it God's got in store for you? I don't know what it is, but you do. And if you're following the Lord with patience and you're fighting that fight with persistence, there's going to be a day when that rapture sounds or you close your eyes in death and wake up in heaven because you're saved. You're going to be able to say, I finished my course. I finished my course. And you're going to be able to give praise to the one that you've served all these years. Listen, you can give praise to him now, but I can finish my course with praise if I'm fighting with patience, with persistence, and I'm following with patience. I'll be able to finish my course with praise. If your course ended today, how many of you would be able to praise because of the work that you've done for God? Or how many of you would have to hang your heads and say, I'm sorry. God, I should have done more. God, I should have done more. Brother Thomas said something in Sunday school this morning. When we're standing there, Brother Shane, if we see people cast into hell, he said, I wonder how many people are going to say, I didn't even know you were a Christian. And I thought about that. How many of our neighbors know that we are a Christian? How many of our co-workers, our family members? If our race were to end tonight, have we given it our all? God gave his all. We just celebrated Christmas time. The greatest gift any of us could ever receive is that gift of eternal life. And the payment for that eternal life was Jesus Christ, who came willingly to die for you and I. He gave everything. And we said, God, you can have the leftovers. God, you can have whatever I have left of my day. Most of the time, that's nothing. And our nation's in the trouble that it is today, because God's people are more focused on the temporal than the eternal. But I want to hear my Heavenly Father say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because I want to be able to give him praise for what he's done for me. And I can praise him now, and we can shout the rooftop off, but one day we're going to look him in the face. If you're saved, you're not going to have to give an account of all the sins they're already paid for. But understand, you are going to have to give account for what you did for him. But if you're not saved, you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And he's going to say, "What? Basically, why should I let you into heaven?" And you'll begin to tell him all the good works that you have done. I've prophesied in your name. I've cast out devils in your name. I taught a Sunday school class for 20 years. I rode a bus route. I did all this. And he'll say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Because listen, spirituality, activity is not a substitute for spirituality. Just because you're active in the church does not mean you're spiritual. Just because you do things and you come to church and you give in the offering plate and you do all that. Remember Cornelius? He prayed. He gave alms. He prayed 3 times a day. He did all of those things, but he was lost. He was missing what was required to go to heaven. And that was putting his faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to trust him as your Savior. But if you are saved, he wants you to be steadfast. He wants you to press on. He wants you to follow him with patience, letting him lead you every step of the way. If God says turn right, don't even ask why, just turn right. My dad used to tell me that. He said, son, when I say jump, don't even ask how high, just start jumping. He said, if I want you to go higher, I'll tell you. I believed him. And so if dad said jump, I jumped. Because if I didn't, I knew I would have some assistance in jumping. But God's given us all a job to do. You know what he says? Go. Go. Go ye. Let's get personal. He said, you go. You go. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, God, how can I do that? I live in Salisbury. How can I go to Africa? Give to missions. Pray for them. Send people to go. You know why we send missionaries? It's so we can have an influence, not just here, but all across this world. Because God says to go. But the problem is, a lot of times, I believe, preacher, we get more focused on what's happening in Africa than we do right here where we live. That person who lives beside of us and has lived there for 15 years, are they going to heaven? Have you ever even asked them? Do you know? Listen, if they said no when you asked, you're doing what you're supposed to do. But you just keep asking. Keep going to them. One day they may say, leave me alone. Then keep praying for them. Pray that God sends somebody else by to talk to them. But keep doing what you're supposed to do. Keep fighting that fight. Keep pressing on for Him. I don't want to die and say I haven't done all for the Lord. I don't want the rapture to happen and be found sitting idle, doing nothing for Him. What a tremendous shame that would be. We have the greatest gift that anyone could have ever received, that gift of eternal life. God's given it to us. And I've heard this illustration used, but I'll use it again because it really hits home with us. My mom struggled with cancer. Your mom struggled with cancer. We know several people struggle with cancer. Brother Nick, if you had somebody in your family that struggled with cancer and they died, and you found out that you knew somebody and you've known them for years and years and years and they had a cure for cancer, and they never told you about it, you'd look at them and you'd say, my mom died. And you all this time could have helped her, but you just let her die. You wouldn't think very fondly of that person, would you? You know why? Because they had the answer, but they kept it to themselves. We have something greater than a cure for cancer. We have a cure for sin. You say, does that mean I'm never going to sin again? No, but the sin that separates you from God and the presence of God can be washed white as snow through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have that answer, but we hide it to ourselves. We say, hey, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. That's all I needed. No, that's not. You know what soul winning is about? It's about going out and reaching other people, but not just seeing them saved, seeing them get to know God, bringing them to church, seeing them get baptized and added to the church, and seeing them grow and begin to reproduce themselves again. That's what we ought to be doing. And so much the more we ought to be, as we're gathering together and having church more, we ought to be winning more souls. We ought to be winning more souls. You say, preacher, you're really harping on this soul winning thing. Absolutely, because we're lacking in it. We're lacking in it. I'm preaching to myself. A lot of times we get caught up in the ministry, dealing with counseling or dealing with this, dealing with that, and we forget about the soul winning sometimes. But you know what God has told us to do? The number one thing? Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth to those things which are before. He said, I press towards the mark. What mark is that? Hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. When Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, he said, because of that, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me. Can you imagine that? God saying, Nick, here's a crown of righteousness. Well done. Whenever I played football, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to make all-tournament team. I wanted to make all-star team. I wanted to carry that trophy. You know why? Because it was a representation of the hard work. But we don't get those crowns just to say, oh, look what I got. We got those crowns to say, look how good God was. God gave us everything that we ever needed. But He gives us more than that. And we can have more to give back to Him if we'll just press on for Jesus. The theme this year, reaching new heights for God. What heights are you willing to go to? How high are you willing to climb? I think oftentimes we plateau in our Christian life because we just get nervous about commitment. We get nervous about saying, God, I'll do this, because then we feel obligated to do it. Well, by the way, you are obligated if you're a child of God. You understand that? You are obligated to serve Him. It said it's your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God to ask you to be holy. It's not unreasonable for God to ask you to be a soul winner. It's not unreasonable for Him to ask anything of you, because He did everything for you. Won't you serve Him? Even more so this year than you ever have. Maybe you are doing what's right. Maybe you've been giving your all. Praise God for that. Don't quit. Press on. Keep on going for God. But if you aren't, purpose today. God, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to follow you with patience. I'm going to fight that fight with persistence. So, Lord, one day I can finish my course with praise, knowing I did everything I could for you. I don't want to die spinning my wheels doing nothing for God. I want to die going full steam ahead for Him. If I die in the race, that's fine with me. We sing that song, Old Soldier, with the kids. Said, if I die in the combat zone, wrap me up and ship me home. Lay my Bible across my chest. Tell my Lord I've done my best. What kind of soldier are you for Him? Are you pressing on? Forget those things which are behind. 2016's gone. There's been a lot of mess ups. There's been a lot of heartache. There's been a lot of good times. There's been a lot of bad times. But it's in the past. This is 2017, a new year to serve God, a new time to do things for Him. Reach for those things which are before. I'm looking forward to what God's got in store this year, for the new faces that we'll see because of soul winners, because of people bringing them in. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see families being restored and people that have been prayed for years and years and years begin to get those helps and things like that. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do this year. But it's going to take some people with some dedication, with just some tenacity about them that says, I don't care what comes, what storms may blow, I'm going to keep my feet planted upon the rock and I'm going to stay steadfast for Him. Press on for Jesus. Just press on for Him. Press on for Him. Press on for Him. This is no time for us to cower down. This is no time for us to change our stance. We're going to be even more so separated for Him. This is no time for us to lower our flag, to lower our standard. We need to raise it high and boldly proclaim that God is Lord. And there's going to be people that shoot at you. Maybe not physically. They might, never know. But spiritually, they may shoot those darts. But aren't you glad we have a shield of faith that's able to quench the fiery darts of the devil? We just have to be willing to get in the battle, to follow the Lord with patience, to fight the fight with persistence, and finish the course with praise. Head bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking.